I had the chance to show him what we could do, though, one day, and that was flying a mission, I think it was my 24th, and we were told to fly down to another base, get out of our plane, and do what they told us. They don't tell the navigator anything. So I got out, I got in this plane, and pretty soon a colonel came on board and sat in the co-pilot seat, and two bombardiers came on board. This was June the 12th of 1944, 6 days after the invasion. We were bombing an airfield behind the invasion lines. Well, I'm sitting there waiting for somebody to tell me what I'm supposed to do. All of a sudden, we're taking off. The plane is taking off. I must be the navigator. Well, Jack had been to a two-week training course for lead navigators. I had never gotten any idea of that, so I didn't know what to do except to just navigate. Fortunately, it was only a 100-mile trip, but we flew in over the invasion front, and we dropped our bombs, and we got back to England and came back to our own base. On arrival at the base, they said, "We want to talk to you. Come into the office, please. You know, you were not supposed to do that. That was a mistake." I mean, how could that be? A mistake? Because it was a case of mistaken identity. The other group thought I was a trained lead navigator, and I didn't know what I was doing there, so I went out and flew the mission. But they said, "We're going to promote you. You've done the job now, so you're a lead navigator, but we're going to put you on a deputy lead ship." "Oh, and what is the deputy lead?" "Well, you'll love that. It happens to be the hottest." They didn't say this. They kept it all a secret. "It happens to be the hottest spot in the formation because all the guns on the ground are aiming at the lead ship. And we had already lost three deputy lead planes. Not a lead ship, three deputy lead planes." So I thought, well, this sounds great. I wrote home to the folks that I'm just being promoted to deputy leader. Well, two missions on deputy lead, and we're hit and shot down. Now, that shoot down experience is unique. And what you don't think about is that what do you do when your plane is on fire and the pilot says bail out? And you have not practiced any of that. You don't know what to do. You don't know anything about where you are, except the target was Hamburg, Germany that day. The previous August, British and Americans had flown three nights and days and bombed Hamburg so badly that 75,000 civilians were killed or made homeless. So unbeknownst to us, the Hamburg was the worst place you could pick to get shot down. They had distinct memories of what it was like to be bombed the way we had bombed them. The civilians were told by Adolf Hitler, "It's all right to take your revenge on the flyers that are parachuting out of the planes." And Hitler further ordered that the troops should not interfere with the civilians taking their revenge on us. Well, as a result, two of our guys were beaten to death on the ground. One was shot in his parachute. One more was killed when the plane blew up. Two more had ropes around their neck and were rescued by the soldiers. I had a unique experience, as everyone was. You don't all land together. You're scattered all over the countryside. And I landed in a little suburban area right across from a military hospital in which the wounded German soldiers are hanging out the window watching me come down in my big white umbrella. And so what did I do when I landed? The memory was, hide your parachute. So I hid my parachute. They're watching me across the street.
Jack.
And I was rescued by two German soldiers with guns, and we had been told, you have a .45 automatic. You can carry that if you want to, but we don't recommend it because the Germans can shoot you just because you have a gun and say, well, he tried to pull a gun on me, so he shot him. So I didn't carry a gun. I put my hands up, and the war was over for me. They took me to an air raid shelter for a brief time. I sat amongst the German civilians while the rest of the raid was going on. And then they took me to a compound in Hamburg where I recognized the name over the stockade. And in a book I had read in the previous high school, I'm only 19, so back when I was 17, I read this book about this prison camp at Fuhlsbettel in Hamburg, where they beat and tortured the prisoners. Well, it turned out that this was not the same prison, but from there they took us to the Great Escape Camp. I'll pass the mic over to Jack.
Jack, let's talk about the crew members that you met. You guys are all young, you know, 18 to 22 years old for the most part. And you didn't really want to make friends because they were losing so many people. You touched on that. I think in 42, when the 8th Air Force went into England, every time they went on a mission, they lose about one third. So you didn't want to make friends.
1943 is when
you
train with your crew and you get over there. And the way the mission started out, you're going to go on your first mission now after we did some practicing around England. And when I was asked about it before, we flew into France. And so the first time that you see the flag starting to come up, well, that's, look at that. And, you know, these little bursts around. And then you're looking over and you see a plane get hit. That goes down. But it was like a movie. It wasn't happening to you. It's just you're out there watching this thing. I think it took about five missions before you suddenly realized that somebody was shooting at you and that one of those that you were watching could be you. But initially, I wasn't really scared. I just, because you don't know what's going to happen. And it just seemed like, well, that's nice. And look at that. Well, that guy blew up. And here come the chutes and all this business. But after the fifth mission, you kind of begin to think about, wait a minute, this, you know, they're not playing games down there. And so it began to, at least you thought about it. So when I started out, I just was the regular navigator. But when I became a lead navigator, because you're in the lead ship, there were certain things you had to do. The busiest time was from the time that you started on the bomb run till that was over. So, but that was also the kind of the roughest time, because by that time they know they've got the flak gun zeroed in on you. They know where your altitude is and so forth, and kind of all hell is breaking loose around you. And but you are so busy that because you have to check with the bombardier, and you had to, the plane went on autopilot through the bomb site. And one of the things you had to do was to look at this indices that comes down on the bomb site and count out how many inches it is from the middle point, because that would tell the pilot when, how far away he was from taking over the control of the plane. When that indices got down to the middle, then the bombs dropped. But they wanted him to know just how much longer he had to wait before he took control of the plane. After the bombs are dropped, pilot took over, and you'd make your turn and get out of there. But maybe it was good that you were busy at that time, because you didn't really have time to think about what's going on. But that was the busiest time. And after you made your turn and you start on home, well, then it kind of let down a little bit. When you got back home, you went to the briefing because they wanted to see what you had to say. One thing I remember is I was 20 years old then. I wasn't really drinking by that time. But one of the things they did, take you in the briefing room, and right in the middle of the table was a bottle of Old Overholt rye whiskey. And everybody had to have a couple of shots of that, because you've been flying for 6-7 hours. You haven't eaten. And that was supposed to relax you. Well, it did. It pretty good. But that was kind of my first experience in having a hard drink. Because when I graduated from high school, at that time, in my senior class, I don't know of anybody that smoked. I don't know anybody that drank. They did go out with girls. I do remember that. But it was a little different time, and it took a while before maybe you might start having a little extra beer or something like that. But I always just remember the first time take a shot of that old Overholt, and I never forgot it. But that would relax you.